You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good Thursday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. You can visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Got a fun show coming up here today. We got Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com, joining us in segment number two to discuss Tennessee's bout against Oregon State and potentially Oklahoma State in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Of course, Tennessee will have to take care of business Friday in order to get to Sunday, but that's coming up. Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com in segment number two. In segment number one, we are going to conclude, finally, our defensive staff miniseries. We have one coach left, and his name is Willie Martinez. And in segment number three, a couple of notes just on Tennessee basketball and kind of where some experts are projecting the Volunteers to go in this tournament. Some notables, Jay Billis, Clark Kellogg, like the Volunteers in this tournament. And what about Omar Payne? And, you know, I'm not sitting here, I'll get more into it later on in the program, but I'm not sitting here beating my chest for justice here, but I really think this whole situation with Omar Payne has been mishandled. Rob Lewis will touch on it a little bit coming up as well. What should the appropriate action be for Florida's big man Omar Payne after he clocked John Fulkerson twice? We'll talk about that and a little bit more moving on in segment number three. I'm Eric Kane, your host here of Locked On Vols. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Locked On Vols. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner. And of course, this podcast is made available to you each and every weekday when you wake up, wherever you get your podcast. We got five-star Fridays coming up. Remember, drop a review, give us a five-star rating, and leave us a review. And if you do so, we will shout you out on Friday's show. So looking forward to that. All right, let's jump into it. This is Locked On Vols, a Thursday episode, and here is our defensive staff miniseries with Willie Martinez. Well, let's back up here. Before we get going, I will say Jimmy Himes of the Sports Animal Knoxville first reported on Wednesday that Tennessee football is shutting down its team activities out of an abundance of caution. There's been some positive COVID-19 tests within the players and within the coaching staff, and so they hope to open things back up on Monday. Now, this is important because spring football practice does begin on Tuesday. So a developing situation as of right now. Spring football is still set to begin on Tuesday. The SEC Network actually came out and assigned the spring football coverage times for the games. And Tennessee's orange and white game set for April 24th will be a 4 o'clock kickoff on the SEC Network. And so we will have to monitor the situation as the days kind of proceed here to see if any changes in that start date for Tennessee football, for spring football, if it's going to be moved from Tuesday back a couple of days or whatnot. But as of right now, as we're recording this podcast, Tennessee football is still going to start spring practice on Tuesday. But it is shut down right now in terms of team activities out of an abundance of caution. That was reported by Jimmy Himes first, and then the university sent out a release about it as well. All right, now we'll get into our defensive staff miniseries with Willie Martinez. Willie Martinez is a guy that Tennessee fans know. He's been here in Knoxville for a couple seasons, really from 2013 through 2016. He was an associate head coach as well as the secondary coach when Butch Jones was here on staff. Martinez is a guy that's been doing it for quite some time. He graduated from Miami, but he's been in the coaching realm since 1985 when he started out as a GA at Miami. He went on to Bethune-Cookman as a wide receivers coach in 88. From 92 to 93, he was at Grand Valley State as the defensive coordinator. In 1994, and we'll touch base on this year here in a moment, he was at Central Michigan coaching the secondary. 95 to 96, he was at UCF as the secondary coach and defensive coordinator. 97, he was at Eastern Michigan. 98 and 99, he was at Central Michigan. And in Georgia from 01 to 04, he was the defensive coordinator at Georgia from 05 to 09, so a long tenure at Georgia. He was a secondary coach at Oklahoma for two seasons, 2010-2011. He was at Auburn in 2012, Tennessee, as I mentioned, from 2013 to 2016, went to Cincinnati in 2017, and then he's been at UCF opposite of Josh Heupel, who obviously is the head coach but coaches offense, as the associate head coach and secondary coach the past three seasons in Orlando. So a guy that Josh Heupel is very familiar with, obviously was on his staff for three seasons and his entire tenure down there in Orlando, and then has brought him up here to Knoxville to coach the secondary. Willie Martinez is a guy that has been around the block. He's well respected. If you follow him on social media, on Twitter, he's been congratulating Justin Coleman, all the other guys that Emmanuel Moseley, all the other guys that signed new deals this week and in the NFL free agency. And so he's a guy that has been around the block. He's done it a time or two, and he's excited to be back here at Knoxville. An interesting note that I saved, an audio clip. I'm going to play it here in just a minute. Willie Martinez on coaching now defensive coordinator Tim Banks. Tim Banks was a senior at Central Michigan in 1994. Martinez was a coach at Central Michigan in 1994 and was his secondary coach. And I found it very interesting to see that dynamic dating all the way back, you know, over 20 years ago. And so, nearly 30 years ago. And so I kind of wanted to play this clip. This is Willie Martinez on coaching Tim Banks and kind of how that relationship has blossomed into a friendship. And now, technically, Tim Banks is Willie Martinez's boss right now. So give this a listen.
He was a senior when I went to Central Michigan. It was only the 1 year that I was there in 1994. So I was blessed in a sense where I got a chance to really coach a kind of a veteran group. And Tim was one of the captains, so to speak, one of the leaders on the defense, not and on the team, but he was a fierce competitor, smart, tough. Obviously, had a tremendous amount of playmaking ability, and it's the same year too that we won the MAC championship, and it was a special time. I had just left Grand Valley State with obviously somebody you guys know very well, Brian Kelly, and then my opportunity to get back in the Division I. And to win a championship right off the bat, and first time there, being there, tradition there at the school, and to be a part of a team that again had really good senior leadership led by Tim Banks, and Tim was a great player, like I said, and to be around him now, obviously we've been friends for a long time. And the great thing about the business, the job that we have is exactly what we say in recruiting, you know, making an impact in their lives and helping them develop to be the men they want to be and reach their goals and dreams and aspirations. And to sit there and now be beside him and him leading the defense is obviously, it's special for me because that's one of the players I had obviously the blessing of being able to coach. So it's kind of a cool deal.
Now, again, that was Willie Martinez on Tim Banks and more here from couple weeks ago now, whenever the defensive staff met with the media. So Willie Martinez, your secondaries coach here in Knoxville, I asked Tim Banks and Willie Martinez kind of what the responsibilities will be between both of them. You know, will Tim Banks coach the safeties while Willie Martinez coaches the corners? I believe that's going to be more or less the dynamic, but both of those guys said they're all going to coach them all together. And so, you know, we'll have to see exactly when we get some boots on the ground out there at spring practice. Hopefully that's still the case, but we'll have to see for sure. So, Willie Martinez, your Tennessee secondary coach, and he's a guy that has been wanting to be here. He's a guy that recruited a good number of the guys on roster right now in Knoxville when he was at his past stop at UCF. And he kind of just said, hey, isn't it funny how things work out? You know, it's what I told some of these guys, like DeNico Slaughter's a guy that he mentioned, wanted him to go down to UCF really badly. Chose Tennessee, and now Willie Martinez is here at Tennessee. So he's a football coach, best way to describe him, and he is coaching Tennessee's secondary moving forward. Got VolQuest Rob coming up, Rob Lewis of VolQuest.com in segment number two, and we'll talk hoops the rest of the way. But first, guys, let me remind you, RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts and customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered straight to your door. RockAuto.com catalog. It's unique, remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend sometimes two times, three times as much for the same parts when you can get them cheaper online at rockauto.com. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Again, that's Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you, but go check it out at rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com. Betting on the Tennessee Volunteers in the SEC doesn't have to be a guessing game any longer if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get your daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcast. And now I want to bring on Rob Lewis here to the podcast. Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com, does a great job covering this Tennessee team. Caught up with him a little earlier, and here is my conversation with Rob Lewis. This Oregon State matchup coming up on Friday, 4:30 Eastern time. It'll be on TNT and, of course, the Vol Radio Network. Oregon State, a 12 seed. The Volunteers, a 5 seed. Initial thoughts, I know as the week's gone on, you've dissected more and more and more of this Beaver program, but what do you like about the matchup for Tennessee?
I mean, I think it's a good matchup for Tennessee in terms of, I mean, Oregon, you know, they're not overly athletic. Evan Thompson, their best player, is you know, a really nice athlete, averages about 15 points a game, is really strong, 6'5 guard, can shoot it a little bit, but mainly a slasher type. He's a good player, but they don't have the kind of size that, you know, can really bother Tennessee at times, especially if Fulkerson is out. Their best quote unquote big man is a 6'7 power forward, leads them in rebounding. And, you know, if you're Tennessee, I guess the thing that worries you is just that Oregon is coming in hot. I mean, they had to win the Pac-12 tournament to get in. They pulled 3 straight upsets to do it. And the key for them was they were not a great 3-point shooting team at all in the regular season, down like 240 there, that range. But then they made 29 of 66 in 3 games in the Pac-12 tournament, 44% as a team over a 3-game stretch is pretty strong. Now, is that sustainable? You know, I kind of think that you probably expect them to return to the mean somewhat, but that if you're Tennessee, you don't want to let them get hot from outside. And, you know, from the Tennessee angle, so much about how you play, how you look, hinges on John Fulkerson, which, you know, as of Wednesday afternoon, Rick Barnes was still calling him day-to-day. And it doesn't, you know, this is just my opinion. I could be wrong. I'm a little skeptical that he's going to be available. He had some sort, you know, nobody's been specific, but he had some sort of facial surgery on Sunday. You know, how realistic is it that he's back playing, even with a protective mask, 5 days later? I mean, maybe he does. I mean, Tennessee certainly has not ruled him out, but that is obviously a big X factor.
Yeah, it's so weird on that front with John Fulkerson, because he gets clocked twice and unable to continue the game on Friday, misses the rest of the SEC tournament, which it ended up just being against Alabama on Saturday. There's been no action from Florida. There's been no action from the SEC. I'm not sitting here, you know, Tennessee fan just banging for justice, but it just feels a little odd that there's been no suspension or anything for Omar Payne, who's going to be playing for Florida in this tournament, while John Fulkerson, you know, might not be able to suit up.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible look for the SEC personally. I mean, and Tennessee fans, you know, are certainly understandably up in arms when Commissioner Greg Sankey went out of his way to discipline Juwan Jennings a couple of years ago for, you know, stepping on a Vanderbilt player who was wearing a lot of protective gear, yeah, as opposed to, you know, a basketball player who's, you know, just out there without a helmet. And, you know, if Omar Payne had walked across the street in Nashville, walked across Broadway and gone to the Tootsies on Friday night and done that to a patron, he'd be in jail right now. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm amazed and disappointed that there hasn't been some sort of discipline handed down, because that was just, I mean, that was nasty.
Nonetheless, Tennessee will have to go on. And Tennessee, I believe, has played encouraging basketball. It's not been great. You still blew a double-digit lead against Alabama on Saturday. And, you know, that's hard to swallow. But I think the 2 games against Florida and against Alabama, you started seeing some more assertiveness offensively. Makes you feel a little bit better, I guess, going into the tournament. And Oregon State is going to be no slouch. Of course, Tennessee will have to take care of that. But this does set up for a potential round of 32 matchup against Oklahoma State and Cade Cunningham. If that is the matchup come Sunday, the challenges obviously are pretty steep for the Volunteers against one of the best players in the country.
Yeah, but I also think Tennessee is pretty well set up, you know, better than many others to, you know, kind of man him up. I mean, I think Keon Johnson is the obvious choice to draw him for, you know, Tennessee's going to switch. I mean, everybody's going to have their hand in it, but I mean, Tennessee, or Keon, I think, would be the primary defender. Josiah James, I think, is the kind of player that can do a good job on him. But without Fulkerson, I think Tennessee's going to have a hard time on the boards, because Oklahoma State, while they're not really big, they are bouncy inside. They've got some athletes that really can crash the glass. And as you just mentioned, Eric, I think you're encouraged for Tennessee, because not just in the SEC tournament, going back to the Florida game to close the regular season, they put out three pretty good performances. And I mean, you can't sugarcoat blowing a 15-point lead against Alabama. But, I mean, Tennessee was right there in the end with the regular season tournament champion and, you know, a two seed. I mean, they showed that they belonged. I love the way Tennessee played in that first half against Alabama. If they can bottle that up, bring it to Indianapolis this weekend, I think Tennessee can win a couple of games. Now, you know, the Oklahoma State games could be tough, assuming we get there. But it's, you know, Tennessee's not some huge underdog in that scenario.
Yeah, Rob, you cover this team. You know this team better than pretty much anybody. And obviously, if it plays to its strengths, then, I mean, you're looking at a run here. But it's all about matchups. It's all about who's on and who's not that game. But realistically for Tennessee, you know, I have them going to the round of 32, and it's going to be a challenge against Oklahoma State. You know, would you have Tennessee maybe making the Sweet 16 unless you don't, you know, shoot 30% from the field on one game?
Yeah, I wouldn't go out and bet my house on it or anything, but I think they win two this weekend. And that's even without Fulkerson. That's because I'm really encouraged with the kind of defense that we've seen from Tennessee the past three games. I mean, they've been good all season. They've been really good the past three games. Two games against Florida, the Gators shot 31 and 34%. Two of those four halves, Tennessee held them to 22 points or fewer. And Florida was the best shooting team in the SEC this year. So that's, you know, it's not like you're going out there and doing that to Vanderbilt. Alabama held them to 37% shooting, down, you know, well below their average. They scored 73 points. I think if Tennessee can replicate that kind of defensive effort this weekend, hold, you know, both of those teams around 35% or lower shooting, I think Tennessee puts themselves in a really good position to win. Now, East Pons has to show up. That he may be my X factor. I mean, if Fulkerson's out, if Fulkerson's limited, Pons is going to have to give them a big time inside post presence.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I mean, he's a guy that has to step up, has to play well. And I mean, of course, you can make the case for any of these guys, but yours would be Pons. Certainly would see that as well. Josiah Jordan James, in my opinion, who kind of a glue guy, kind of does literally everything. And especially if John Fulkerson can't go, that makes James on the boards that much important.
Yeah, without question. And just when you're talking about the boards, I think a guy that has taken it upon himself to really emphasize that area is Keon. He had 9 boards in both the games in Nashville last weekend. But you mentioned Josiah. I think he's a huge key to this team. I think him getting in foul trouble against Alabama really was a big problem for Tennessee. Tennessee was +9 when he was on the floor. Victor Bailey got a lot of those minutes with Josiah in foul trouble. Tennessee was -22 with Bailey on the floor. That's probably not going to happen every game, but that's a huge discrepancy. And Josiah, especially, you know, if they're going to play that small ball lineup, he's going to have to be – he can't get in foul trouble. He can't play 17 minutes like he did against Alabama. And you know, he's a guy that just does so many things well that can cover up, you know, a lot of stuff. And as you mentioned, I think he is the glue guy for this team.
Last thing, Rob, then we'll get you out of here. As far as the SEC from a big picture looking in, I know you don't have your bracket in front of you. You don't have it memorized, to my knowledge. But you got Alabama being a 2 seed in the East, Arkansas 3 seed in the South, and, of course, Tennessee a 5 seed in the Midwest, and some other teams in there, a total of 6. But, yeah, how do you like the SEC's chances heading into this NCAA tournament? I think everybody's looking at Alabama, but potentially could be tossed by Texas maybe in the Sweet 16. Kind of which SEC team would you bet the horse on if you were going in this tournament as a gambler?
I think Alabama. I mean, just for obvious reasons. I mean, they've been the best team all year long. A couple of key games in the first couple of rounds for the SEC that I think will have a lot to say about, you know, what it looks like the conference got done. Arkansas potentially facing a very tough Texas Tech team, I think, in round 2, if form holds. The Red Raiders are tough. And LSU, assuming they show up and win a tough 8-9 game in the opening round, LSU's got the talent to beat Michigan. I mean, that wouldn't just shock me. Now, I'm not predicting it, I mean, because those guys are all over the board. They don't play defense. But, I mean, they've got some guys that can go. So, those are the two keys to me as far as is the SEC really going to make some noise.
Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com. He will be in Indy this weekend covering this Tennessee team. Give him a follow at FallQuest Rob on Twitter. Rob, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Anytime, EC.
Great stuff there as always from Rob Lewis, FallQuest.com. Really appreciate him taking the time to join us previewing Tennessee's matchup on Friday and really this NCAA tournament overall. Guys, Rob Lewis just joined the program, but if you remember, Tyler Ivins joined the program on Wednesday's show, and if you liked what you heard, go back and listen again. If you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go back and listen again because Tyler has a habit of making a lot of extra money for himself just by going to the window. What I mean by that, he chooses Bet Online because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online covers awards, television shows, reality TV, college basketball, the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, college football, anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline has you covered there. It's real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. I posted on at Locked On Vols yesterday. Okay, I posted a graphic from Tyler. This is from Tyler. Against the spread, who does he like? Moneyline going all the way in this tournament, who does he like? Totals over-under, who does he like? I put it in a graphic form at Locked On Vols, and that's all from Tyler. He knows his stuff, and you can know your stuff as well by taking his picks and getting in the action at BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, completely free to sign up. So when you do go and sign up on the website or on your mobile device, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do, use the promo code Locked On. Promo code Locked On. Again, promo code Locked On. Take Tyler's picks and make some money. He's an expert. It was on Wednesday's podcast. Go back and listen to it. Check out that graphic that I detailed all of his against the spread, money line, and total picks, and go to BetOnline and make you some coin. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. And now let's talk about Built Bar. You know, going from one March Madness and making some money to another March Madness bracket and deciding which candy bar. I say candy bar, really it's a protein bar, but it just tastes like a candy bar, is the best at BuiltBar.com. Low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, amazing tasting protein bars with 100% chocolate on all those low-calorie bars. It's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is the Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, if you head on over to BuiltBar.com and check out that bracket, we've got Cookie Dough Chunk against Salted Caramel. Cookie Dough Chunk against Salted Caramel. This is the Sweet of 16 matchup, and to see who moves on to the Enticing 8. Yesterday, it was a really good matchup between Peanut Butter and Coconut Puff. Today, it is Cookie Dough Chunk against Salted Caramel to see who wins a spot going on into the Enticing 8. That's at BuiltBar.com. You can also check it out at bar_built on Twitter, and when you go there, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back in to see who won today's matchup and who will ultimately become the best-tasting protein bar coming out of this Built Bar Madness bracket. All of that and more. It's at BuiltBar.com. Check it out for yourself, guys. There's only one place to get all the information you need on the SEC 5 days a week, and that's Locked On SEC. Host Chris Gordy of Sports 790 delivers his unique brand of Southeastern Conference analysis with the help of local experts from around the SEC network of Locked On Podcast. Follow the Locked On SEC Podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. We got a final segment left of a Thursday show. Really hope you enjoyed that conversation with Rob Lewis, previewing that Tennessee bout against Oregon State on Friday. Want to get your thoughts on a couple of these comments from some national media members. You have Jay Billis, ESPN, and he has Tennessee going to the Sweet 16. So that would mean Tennessee taking care of business against Oregon State and then presumably against Oklahoma State in the round of 32. If it's not Oklahoma State, it could be Liberty. But nonetheless, it's probably going to be Okie State and Cade Cunningham. So would you have Tennessee winning opening weekend, getting out of opening weekend? I think it's going to be a tremendous challenge. I think Tennessee will take care of business on Friday, but I do think Tennessee will kind of have an uphill climb against Oklahoma State on Sunday. And you heard Rob Lewis talking about matchups and how, you know, Tennessee matches up pretty well with Oklahoma State. And I mean, I agree and I get that, and I think there's merit to that as well. But, you know, Tennessee right now doesn't have just a go-getter. And Oklahoma State certainly has a go-getter, and he's might be the best go-getter in the nation in terms of Cade Cunningham. talk about NBA draft prospectus and whatnot. So I think Tennessee's going to struggle against Okie State on Sunday. Does that mean Tennessee can overcome that struggles? Potentially. We'll have to see. But I think a lot's going to be learned about Tennessee on Friday, specifically, you know, who's out there, a.k.a. John Fulkerson. Is John Fulkerson going to be a factor? Is he going to be out there playing? Will he be able to be relied on to get some offensive boards and second-chance opportunities? We're going to have to see. Jay Billis has Tennessee going to the Sweet 16. Clark Kellogg has Tennessee as a dark horse to win the tournament. Now, that's taking it a step further. You know, we talked about this on the starting lineup Wednesday morning, and a dark horse, in my opinion, is anybody, you know, a five-seed or below. Tennessee sits right there at that five-seed. You know, a dark horse. Cinderella, I think, is even later than that. But a dark horse, I think Tennessee falls right into that dark horse category. Clark Kellogg is picking Tennessee to be his dark horse team. That means Tennessee will not only have to get out of the opening round or get out of the opening weekend, which would likely involve taking on Oklahoma State in the round of the Sweet 16 or the round of 32, but that means taking on Illinois in the Sweet 16. You think Tennessee can take down the Big Ten champs? Illinois is a great, great basketball team. I do not have Tennessee advancing that far, nor if I did having Tennessee win that game. I just don't. If you defeat Illinois in the Sweet 16, then you are taking on likely, you know, West Virginia and or Houston, the 2-3 seed out of the bottom half of the Midwest region. So, I mean, we'll have to see. And again, I'm not trying to, you know, be a Debbie Downer here, because I think Tennessee has unbelievable talent. I think Keon Johnson continues to get better. I mean, he's a lottery pick. I think Jaden Springer has the ability to take over games. He just needs to do it on a more consistent basis. I think Eve Pons is the most athletic player in the entire country and a great defensive Starworth. You know, I think Tennessee has a lot going for it, but in terms of what we thought this team would be, it's just never reached what we thought it would be to this point in the season. But hey, better late than never. So Clark Kellogg picking Tennessee as his dark horse team. Jay Billis taking Tennessee to the Sweet 16. What say you? At Locked On Vols, at underscore Caner, let me know. Also, you know, it's always a mental battle, mental toughness if you're an athlete, to stay disciplined, to stay in the weight room, to stay in line with your team rules and regulations, to, you know, stay on top of your schoolwork. I hate using the word grind, but it is a mental and physical grind. It's what it is. But more so than not, you know, this tournament, you're going to be essentially, they're creating a bubble in Indianapolis. And the team had to be, you know, self-quarantined for the first 24 hours it was there. I don't think it's going to be that strict. But, I mean, I think you're going to see these teams, you know, having just a floor to themselves with a meeting room, you know, having food brought up to them at all times, and really only leaving that floor of the hotel room to go practice and or go play. A lot of times in your rooms, a lot of times playing video games, a lot of times chilling out. That's a lot of times away from your family, from your girlfriends, all that's involved. And for a young person, that's a tremendous challenge. I mean, it really is. And so I wonder, I mean, of course, every team wants it. Every team is going to try to win every single game. I'm not saying that, but it's going to be interesting to see the teams that stay mentally tough throughout this process. Because you're talking, you know, the two teams that go to the national championship into the Final Four, you're talking 3 weeks. I think that's a small price to pay, but it's still going to be tremendous. It's a tremendous challenge for sure. So I think mental toughness is going to be humongous, for more so than any other year in the history of basketball these guys have played, more so than any of the tournaments. And, you know, a lot of these guys have been to the NCAA tournament before, but it's going to be completely different this time, because you can't go out and get dinner. You can't go out and see a game. You can't go out and see the city and do things. A lot of times when you're in the playoffs, it's also a sightseeing trip. Indianapolis isn't anything flashy, but still, it's a chance to go out and see things. Not this year. Not during the COVID era, and you hope that we're climbing out of that and we'll never have to deal with this again. And lastly, as we kind of wind down our podcast here, just got about 90 seconds, but I do want to touch on Omar Payne. As I said in the, you know, intro to this episode, I'm not sitting here beating my chest for justice. I know a lot of you guys might be as well, and that's completely fine. What he did to John Fulkerson, what Rob Lewis said, you know, if he did that in a local bar to a local patron, he'd be in jail. And I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, that was, he clocked him twice with an elbow. The fact that Greg Sankey has not stepped in and done anything about this, whether addressing it, whether putting the pressure on Florida to, you know, dealt out some type of punishment, whatever the case may be, the fact that Greg Sankey was in-house in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena and never once addressed it absolutely piss poor leadership that's pitiful. And I think Greg Sankey has done a marvelous job navigating through the COVID era. I think the fact that we got a football season in, Greg Sankey was one of the four, you know, forerunners up there, kind of leading the charge back in the summer. I think he's done a marvelous job, but boy, did Greg Sankey drop the ball last weekend by not addressing what happened with Omar Payne and John Fulkerson. Just ridiculous, piss poor leadership. And it's truly sad. I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, Matt White needs to step up and do something. I agree. I mean, I feel like Rick Barnes, if the tables were reversed, I think Rick Barnes would step up and do something. But ultimately, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference needs to step up and do his job. And he's just not doing that. And so it's a shame. You hope John Fulkerson can come. He's with the team. When the team practiced on Tuesday night, there was a picture of him on the treadmill. You know, he had some type of procedure done Sunday morning. He's back with the team. He had a concussion and, of course, face fractures because he got elbowed twice on cheap shot from Omar Payne. But it looks like Omar Payne's going to be able to go and play in the NCAA tournament, and we'll have to see about John Fulkerson. You hope for John Fulkerson, everything who he is and what he's meant to this team, you hope he can go out there and play and get the job done. So fingers crossed on that front. Greg Sankey dropped the ball on this one. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it at _Caner. At Locked On Vols. I will say this too, Matt White did call and talk with Rick Barnes a couple times, check on John Fulkerson. John Fulkerson has turned the page. His family's turned the page. Omar Payne has apologized and trying to turn the page. I'm not trying to continue to bring this up, but I just want to point out that Greg Sankey didn't do his job, and it's showing. As a Thursday Locked On Vols, guys, we will preview everything that is the NCAA tournament and Oregon State coming up on a Friday show. Hopefully, we'll have a big-time guest join us as well. Guys, I appreciate it. At Locked On Vols, at _Caner. Find it everywhere weekday mornings when you wake up, wherever you get your podcasts. For a Thursday episode, I'm your host, Eric Kane, signing off. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.